Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome into 20th and Blake here on the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. I am your host, Drew Kreisman, and as always, I'm excited, or at least very intrigued, to be talking Colorado Rockies baseball with you here on the show. And I'm not going to do this very often, but on this episode, I'm going to be discussing one play. Obviously, for a team that we don't expect to win a ton of ball games to be super competitive this season, I've often promised you that I'm not going to be doing even individual game breakdowns, and we'll be focusing on the big picture. But of course, the Rockies kind of became national news last night for whatever it was happened there in the ninth. So I want to talk about it from as many different angles as possible and give you a few different takes, a few different observations from what I've seen. Of course, the Rockies are getting absolutely roasted for what happened, but let's begin at the beginning and talk about what it was. With the catcher Diaz on second base in a one-run game, and the Rockies bench completely depleted by a bunch of guys who were under the weather, including several who were not even at the ballpark, Bud Black was faced with the decision of whether or not to allow Diaz to run for himself or whether he could try to get a better athlete in there. But with the game that might go into extras, there were several things to consider. As you know, he ended up going with Kyle Freeland, who ended up on third base with an opportunity to score the go-ahead run in a ball that got away from the catcher. He takes off for home and collides with his good buddy, his very good friend, and former Colorado Rocky, Jeff Hoffman, potentially injuring his shoulder. The latest, as of speaking right now, which is noon o'clock on the next day, he's listed as day-to-day. So, as terrible as it looked in the moment, it's at least worth starting with that information as well. But we really should back up here and talk about a number of things. First of all, why would you ever pinch run a pitcher? Now, this is something that does happen. It's not common, right? It's much more in the category of like when a position player has to go and pitch, though that's become a lot more common in recent years, or maybe even closer to if you have to go to like a third catcher. I think in both instances, Alan Trejo is the Rockies guy who is designated for that spot, right? He's the guy who will be the position player who pitches, and it's almost always a utility guy off the bench like that. It had been Daniel Del Scalzo before, who again, I think, held both roles where he was an emergency catcher and also an emergency pitcher. There has always been a guy on the team, a pitcher, who is designated the emergency base runner for situations kind of like this. And I'll get back to that because we'll talk about whether or not this really qualified. But I actually had a weird mixed up memory as I was watching it. I was like, didn't Freeland once pinch run and end up tagging and scoring the winning run? But actually, that was Jeff Hoffman I was remembering, who happened to be on the mound during all of this, right? So the Rockies have always had a pitcher designated the emergency base runner. They use it sparingly, probably once every other year, maybe once every 3 years, you'll see this happen. And most teams have a pitcher designated in this spot. The main reason you don't use a reliever is because you're in a tie game that might go into extras and you're trying to stay away from having to use a position player to pitch, right? So there's almost always some starting pitcher on the roster who's designated that spot. It makes sense in several ways that that would be Kyle Freeland, and Bud Black talked about that after the game last night. Basically, he's just one of the better athletes on the team. It's true. He's a good runner. He's a big guy. And which may have helped him absorb that contact without getting, looks like, seriously injured. But Here's the thing, and this is where we're going to start to get into the strategy and the conversation around the rest of it. The point that I ultimately come down on is this is the type of move that actually does make perfect sense to do if you've just won 91 games and you're playing game 161 or game 162 and you're trying to secure the division, then yeah, put your best athlete out there and have him go all out to try to score that winning run. It's tough to watch this happen on a team that's only got four wins. So then there again, I understand you're trying desperately to get that fifth. And I also understand that the Rockies, as much as the front office has started to operate a lot more under the rebuild, they don't play not to win. In other words, or I guess the easier way to say that is, they're always, Bud Black's going to manage to try to win the ballgame. He's very rarely going to take that, and I understand that a lot of people don't like that, and I get it, and I think I do come down on that side on this particular instance, not just because you do run the risk of the guy getting hurt and it almost happened, and or maybe did happen and almost happened worse, but because it's just not a risk. There's a difference, I think, between not doing the clear, smart thing to try to win the game when you're rebuilding, which is a bit cynical and I don't like that, right? Versus not taking on extra added risk to try to win a ball game in mid-April where, you know, even if you are of the belief that you're more talented than people think and you can maybe go on a run and maybe not be in the cellar this year, whatever, you still don't need that game that bad. And, you know, I'd rather just have Diaz go in and crash into the pitcher. In fact, Diaz is probably going to get the better of that exchange, right? Now, of course, you don't know that that's going to play out. If it goes differently and there's a sac fly and Freeland runs in and scores nice and easy, then it looks like, but like not a genius move, but certainly the right move, right? But I do think some people are going a little bit too far with there being absolutely zero justification for it. Like, nobody should ever put in a pitcher to pinch run. It does happen. It's not common, but it does happen. It happens in extreme circumstances like the one the Rockies were facing last night where they had several players who were unavailable. It happened to be a tie ball game. All of those things coming together. Even the unluckiness of the fact that there happened to be a play at the plate. Plays at the plate are generally very rare. But of course, it's the Rockies, so of course, you take that risk, you make a questionable decision, and of course it's going to come back to bite you. When does it not, right? So, yeah, I am one who thinks there are reasonable justifications for why you would do that, and I totally understand the logic behind it. To me, it just doesn't make sense in the bigger, grander scheme of things. That's the type of move that makes sense to me, like I said, in a postseason game or in a pennant race down the stretch. You know, in April, you're doing that with a guy you really need for the next couple of years, and you need him to be healthy and get back to being good, is highly questionable. On the flip side, there is one element of this that I've got to call out a little bit that I am seeing people run away with, because I'm sorry, folks, but a week ago, I was getting flooded with Kyle Freeland is a bum. Kyle Freeland's got to go down to AAA. It's an absolute joke that this guy's their opening day starter. And there's understandably so to an extent, right? Those first two outings were awful. His next two, as we've talked about, better. But not blowing down the doors better. Not, oh, he's clearly fine better. Just better. Kyle's an extraordinarily competitive guy and wants to help his team win. Wanted to go into that situation. Nobody told him to take off for home plate either. I promise you, he really wanted to score the winning run in that game because he feels like he hasn't been helping the team win. And so I get all of that, but I couldn't help but note the sort of general hypocrisy between people like now trying to call him the ace of the team. I saw several headlines that were like, Rockies put their best pitcher in a pinch running situation because they're a joke of franchise. Like, first of all, it's been a minute since Freeland's been their best pitcher. Their most important one in certain ways, the leader in the clubhouse, you know, the guy you hope gets it back. Sure, yes. But Kyle has been their worst starting pitcher this year comfortably, measurably, right? Now, I know we're early in the season. It's only, you know, we're talking about four starts for each guy. But all of the other starters have been better. Quantrill and Feltner have been way better. I would probably even put Dakota Hudson in the category of way better, and then Austin Gomber in the category of a bit better. In the long term, yes, it's important to your franchise because of his contract and just because of who he is, that you've got Kyle Freeland around, you've got him healthy, and hopefully you can get him going better, right? And so again, I still come down on the side of it was not the correct decision. It's certainly not what I would have done. But the idea that what the Rockies did was put out a guy, you know, people were kind of making it sound like they took 2010 Ubaldo Jimenez and had him pinch run, you know, like they put a guy out there who is winning them ball games right now on the mound. And this is a guy who's powering your team to wins. And how could you risk him like that? It's like right now, Freeland isn't helping the team win games. And if the best way he could do so early in the season was to be their best runner in that moment, He was going to be there to do it. And so I just had to call out that little bit of it because I thought it was fascinating the way people flipped from, you know, maybe this guy doesn't even belong on the roster anymore to you've absolutely got to protect this asset. Like it's kind of, you got to pick one of those two roads a little bit there. So the other thing that I will say is, again, while I do come down on the side of bad decision, almost really blew up in your face, didn't end up working out. Although, what is with that call? Sidebar, this wasn't on my notes. I wasn't even going to talk about this. But again, because it always sounds like you're saying, well, you're only saying that because the Rockies could have, should have, would have won the game. But I just, for the future of I could not care less about the outcome of last night's baseball game, which is part of the reason why I would have just let Diaz run if it was up to me, right? Because I think the Rockies are going to lose a bunch of games this year. I think they're going to get another really good draft pick, and then I think you're going to go for it next year. But beyond that, what is obstruction of home plate if not that? It's not just that he was in the way, clearly, you know, there was a collision and that happened, but it's that like literally him being in the way stopped Freeland from getting to the plate and allowed him to play the tech. Like it was a textbook definition of obstruction. And I just believe that, again, if that had been a postseason game being played between two good teams with equal amount of respect, there's no way that call goes that way. That was a, they don't want to overturn calls, and they're not going to give the Rockies the benefit of the doubt after having just done something stupid. And so, like, okay, but I don't understand what obstruction is if it's not that. That's got to be a safe call at the plate too. And so that's the other thing about this that's kind of frustrating is you're like a couple of inches away from him being safe, and maybe that ends up being the game-winning run. And also, it looks like he's going to be fine from a health standpoint. So, like, for all of the hullabaloo for the national headlines and everybody posting the pictures of Freeland writhing around in pain and joke franchise, we're used to all of that, right? The long-term effects of this might be literally zero. None. You know, like, and inches away, and I could quite frankly argue based on the rule book should have won them the game, but whatever. Like that to me, this is such a Rockies thing from every angle, from the oddness of the decision in the first place to send Freeland in there, to the fact that the highly questionable, in my view, bad decision ended up blowing up so dramatically in their face, to the fact that then the reaction was an extraordinary overreaction, as though the Rockies just put one of the best pitchers in baseball on the IL for 60 days, when what they really did was have their worst pitcher get mildly scuffed up. So it's just like I had to come on and talk about it because there were just so many narratives flying in every direction, and some I'm with, some I'm like, well, that's a little far, I think, right? So yeah, in summary, to recap, there are reasons to pinch run a pitcher, especially if he's a good athlete. I don't think there were enough of them to do it in that situation. It almost turned into a horrific nightmare, but it also looks like it didn't. And so I guess that's the take. Baseball's weird and funky and infuriating. And no, I'm not going to do a rant about the extra inning base runner at second rule right now either. That's technically a different play. And like I said, I really just wanted to break this down today. I still think that rule is dumb. And again, I don't think it's what cost the Rockies the game. I just don't think it's a good rule for baseball. The only other thing that I will say about the ball game last night is check out your boy Michael Tolia doing stuff. That has been fun. Toggles keeps going, and we're going to keep enjoying him throughout the season, hopefully. That's been another nice little silver lining that I don't think I've been given enough talk about. But luckily, on the next regularly scheduled conversation, as I promised you before I knew there was going to be a hullabaloo, I'm going to be talking about the Rockies' prospects, which still does include Michael Tolia and guys like Alaurus Montero, some of the guys on the Major League roster, but obviously the really fun stuff is going to be diving into what, have you seen what Jordan Beck and Zach Veen have been doing lately? And Sterling Thompson is hot. The pitching, though, is what I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm doing tomorrow's podcast already, but man, I am kind of blown away by the quality of the minor league pitching for the Colorado Rockies right now. So we'll do that tomorrow or the next day here on the show. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening into this one. Let me know what you thought of the whole Kyle Freeland hubbub. Make sure you're following along with Mile High Sports on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram, especially for those quick little one-minute videos. We've been doing a whole lot of fun making those and interacting with people out there on the Instagram, something that I'm new to and getting used to, but it's been a lot of fun. So if you haven't done it before, maybe consider setting up a little Instagram account, coming out and hanging out with us. There's a lot more positive energy I have found over there than on some of these other social media places. So thank you all so much for hanging out and listening to the show. I hope you will continue to be absolutely awesome out there. You know that I will continue to be absolutely Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, I will see you at the ballpark.